This is season 2 of Ego and Vice. Episode 15 is coming up.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
So here we are again. Yeah, I took some time off. I needed to just collect myself over the holidays and whatnot. I think the last podcast I did was probably, well, right before Christmas. So it's been about almost 3 weeks, I think, since I put one up. So yeah, cool, man. I'd like to thank all the people that helped make season one so fucking great. Sent out a little thing with all the names of the bands and names of the people that helped me out. And bloody fucking blah, right? Wow, getting back into this, I don't even know what to fucking talk about. What happened to me? Christmas was good. Holidays were good. Spent it with some family and friends. Had a good Christmas with my girlfriend. Yeah, you know, opened some gifts and whatnot with the kids and lived vicariously through them somewhat, I think. And got some cool shit. I got a cool leather jacket, which makes me feel like a big bad biker. I just got to buy a bike now. And what else did I do? I got some records. It was cool. Got a new turntable. It was pretty cool. Or a record player. I gave some gifts too. I won't get into that stuff because it's none of your business. And yeah, I think I played a couple of shows. I may have talked to you about the shows before I even... before I did the last podcast. Maybe I did. I think I did. Riptide show. Yeah, something like that. Anyway. It was pretty quiet, though, over the course of the holidays. New Year's, as per usual, I didn't do anything. Stayed at home. Actually, I went out for dinner with my girlfriend. Went out for dinner with Brandy. And we stopped at a place in the Weeb, in the Richmond Glebe, on Wellington Street. That's what I call it, anyway. Are they... Richmond, Wellington, anyway, whatever. And it was good. We ate good, and we had good times had by all, I'd say. And then we went home, and we had a couple of drinks, and we fell asleep before the ball dropped. But we woke up right before midnight, I think, because I'm old as fuck, and that's what happens. What else has been happening? I went to, made my doctor's appointment, had a doctor's appointment, went and had an ultrasound on my stomach, on my abdomen. If you ever have something to say to your doctor, be truthful to your doctor. You know, you can go in there and lie to him and feed him like a line of shit and stuff like that, but it's not going to help you out in the long run. If you're having some problems as far as issues with your body, with your mind, whatever, you know, tell your doctor, if you have a family doctor, tell him or her, and they will, you know, it's in their profession, it's in their, you know, they will help you, they will suggest things to help you. So the last time I went to a doctor's appointment, I went to my family doctor, and I let him know that I was having some problems with my stomach, little kind of weird things, and I also kind of fessed up for the first time ever about how much friggin' I drink in my life. And my doctor seemed concerned that I'm drinking a little too much for my own good. So one of the ultrasound things, he wanted to ultrasound my liver and my kidneys and stuff. So there you go. Gave some blood, took an ultrasound, or got an ultrasound. And yeah, so that was last week, and I haven't heard anything back yet. So I guess it's the difference between hearing something the next day and hearing something a couple weeks from now regarding how you're doing, I suppose. I don't know, but I feel okay, more or less. I just had to kind of have to watch my diet. I got to lay off the frozen burritos, you know what I mean? Eat more fiber, drink less beer. That seems pretty easy to do, but is it? Is it easy to do? I don't fucking think so. But, you know, you try, I guess. What else is coming up? Yeah, we're in the new year in 2018. Wow, shit. Fucking time flies, doesn't it? Here's a big one. I left my, I was in a, I'm in three bands. Well, I was in three bands. I guess that's kind of a segue into where I'm going. I was in a band, I'm in a band called Goat. I'm in a band called The Copper Altar. And I was in a band called Hearts and Minds. Over the course of the holidays, I ended up leaving Hearts and Minds. I talked to my friends in the band and I just let them know that, at this stage in my life, it was just, I have so much on my plate and I'm so busy and, I just want to kind of put forth or direct my attention to things that are more creatively mine. And those guys are awesome, awesome guys. They're an awesome band is for what they do and whatnot. But for maybe the last few months, and I gave it a lot of thought. Like, I've been in the band for over almost 5 years, but I gave it a lot of thought, and it just wasn't working for me anymore. And I told a couple of the guys who are my good friends, and they were understanding, and there's no hard feelings, and I didn't leave the band under any, like, anger or spite or resentment or anything. It was just time to go. And for 2018, that was one of my things, is I just kind of want to focus on the stuff I'm doing, whether it be Goat or The Copper Altar or the podcast. You know, I just feel like I have more creative control over that and I can kind of make my own schedule for it. And it was kind of important to me to start fresh and just kind of be in charge of all that stuff. So I, to Hearts and Minds, to the guys, Jay, Mick, Rob, and Matt, I wish you all the best and you guys are going to do awesome. You were an awesome band before I joined. You will be an awesome band after I'm gone because, from my personal opinion, musically, you didn't really need me anyway, but I was happy to fill in and I had a great time, so I have nothing but the best wishes for you guys. So that's some news, right? I guess I'm down a band. Anybody want to start another band? No, I'm just joking. Maybe I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just want something I can find another outlet where I can scream my fucking head off, you know what I mean? Because it makes me feel better. It's therapeutic for me, and I want to play fast and heavy and hard stuff. That's what I want to do. And I want to talk to the good listener of said podcast. Last year, I started this podcast just kind of on a whim, just to discuss local music, discuss the artists, and bring in some of my friends to, you know, just give them a, just have a conversation, ask some questions, and find out where they come, where they came from, or where they come from, and what brought them to this stage of their, you know, life in Ottawa music or just in music in general. And I found it super interesting. I had some pretty amazing guests on. You can look back through the archives, I guess, because last season is up there. There's 14 episodes plus a couple of bonus episodes with some bands with my friends out of town, Voice of Addiction and Nile Osiris from New York and Chicago. But I did mainly focus on Ottawa music. Fuck, this is a ramble. I am just going off. Well, I haven't talked for a while. So, yeah. So last season went super well, and I'm really looking forward to season two. Today's January 9th, I think, and it's the first episode of the new year, 2018. First episode of the second season, like I've fucking said about four times, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I have a really special guest in the Southhead studio this week. Her name is Sarah Destruction. We go way back. She has been a member of many bands in Ottawa, which she'll tell you about. She was in Goat for about 2 years, and she has some incredible things that are she has on the go, some life-changing things, which I'm really proud of her. And she took her time to come out, and we're going to talk about what's going on in her life and where she came from, where she's going, and what the fuck, you know, what's up. Cool, man. I am going to start this this podcast, the first podcast of 2018. There it is again, with a song. It's a little self-indulgent. It is a Goat song. However, this song is a little different than other Goat songs. It's the only Goat song Well, the second goat song that I don't sing, but the first goat song I didn't write either. This is a song with Sarah Destruction on the vocals when she was in Goat. And I think no better way to start up the new year with her as a guest is to play this tune. It's called Brain Goo. And once this track is done, we're going to come back with the one and only Sarah Destruction. So this is Goat, fucking rights. Happy New Year, everybody. This is Brain Goo.
What the fuck is wrong with me? What's my prognosis? Messed up mentality. I've got this shit all over and my brain is turned to goo. I'm really freaking out. What's wrong with me?
That was Brain Goo by Goat. Fucking shitty band. But hey, man, that's what we got. And that track, like I said before the song actually played, that was a song that was written and sung by my guest today. Good friend of mine. Her name is Sarah Destruction. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Southhead Studio. I know we haven't seen each other in a little bit because of the holidays, and there's been lots going on, and we'll get to that. But it's really great that you're here.
It's good to be back. It's nice.
Awesome. Me and Sarah go back maybe, what do you think, about three years? Something like that.
I don't know, a drunken night at Cafe de Cuff.
Right. The very first... here's the thing. Goat was always a three-piece. And Sarah used to play in a band called Ra Ra Riot, which we'll get to eventually. But if we're going back to the very roots of where I ever met... The very first time I ever met Sarah was me and my bass player, my friend Polly, we went to a Ra Ra Riot show at Cafe de Cuff. I think it was Cafe de Cuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. And we were always had in our minds, like, we want a second guitar player. And Paulie knew somebody in Ra Ra Riot. So he's like, let's go check this band out. And I remember you were, like, playing guitar. And I was, like, all drunk. And I was like, there she is. That's our new guitar player. Because you were awesome. And I still have that video on my laptop because I took, a video of you. I'm like, this she would be perfect for our band. And at the very end of the...
Probably terrible.
No, it was awesome. At the very end of the show, I remember I was like, you were like wrapping up your chords or something and just packing your stuff up. And I went up to you and I was like, and I was super drunk. And I'm like, you know what? You're super good and you should play in a band. I said something like that. And you just kind of looked at me. Do you even remember that?
I don't.
You don't, eh?
Sounds like something I would do, though, every time you tell me this story. So
yeah, and you just kind of looked at me and I got super intimidated and I was just like, okay, I gotta go. And I just left, and that was the last time I think I talked to you until you texted me when you were in another band. You said, hey, you want to play Targ on Tuesday night or something? I think so.
Yeah, I was playing with the Brat Attack,
yeah.
And then you opened up for us.
Okay.
And then it kind of just went from there.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. I'm really interested, because I've known you for a while. And you know how you think you know, you think you know somebody, but you don't really know somebody. So I'm curious to, like, being a guitar player, a staple somewhat of the Ottawa punk scene, where did it all begin? Like, you were born in Cornwall?
I was born in Ottawa.
Oh, shit. See, I'm fucking, I'm off the rails already.
I lived all over the place. I've probably lived in like 20 places growing up. But Were you like a military kid? No. Just poor kid, you know, I think running from landlords, kind of a thing, you know?
Gotcha.
But moved around a bunch and then ended up in Cornwall. That's where my mom grew up. And yeah, lived in Cornwall from when I was about 12 to 22. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got my brother gave me my first guitar on my birthday when I was 17. I just came home one day and he got me a guitar and an amp and I was psyched and I taught myself how to play. So I'm all self-taught.
Now you have two brothers?
Two brothers.
Bud.
From Cornwall, yeah.
Which I have this weird Cornwall thing anyway.
Yeah, and then Mark is in Toronto and then I have a sister in BC.
All right, so who gave you the guitar, Bud or Mark?
Bud.
Okay. Yeah. Did Bud, because Bud plays in a band called Dr. Mom in Cornwall.
Yeah.
Now, was he always like a musician? Did he always play in bands? Was he kind of like your influence when you were a kid?
Yeah, Bud sort of like, he was a good, the big inspiration into just getting me into like a lot of bands that I love today, like the Pixies and Bad Religion. And he's introduced me to so many bands. So
cool.
I used to, whenever I started, you know, being a teenager and stuff, I'd go over to his place and he'd have his acoustic and he'd be playing and I always thought it was super cool. And yeah, I'm like, so maybe one day I'll end up playing. And he was in a band called the Midnight Revival at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
out of Cornwall, Ontario?
From Cornwall.
Yes!
And I would go see him play and it was just like super inspiring at the time. So, so yeah, I was back in Cornwall and then I befriended my friend Jamie. And we were both in Cornwall and we had these like this dream of like, let's start a band. And I'm like, I'll play guitar and she would sing. So we both decided to move to Ottawa back in 2009. And so we moved to Ottawa and she became the singer of Rah Rah Riot.
I think it's kind of cool. Like I've talked to other people and myself, my own history of when you're younger and you kind of look to your older sibling. A lot of people have older siblings and most people like myself, my older sibling wasn't a musician. I would just like gravitate towards the music she was listening to. And I've touched on it before where my sister liked like Corey Hart and Bryan Adams and Platinum Blonde and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I like this stuff too now. I wonder what would have happened to me, like what you just touched on, if my older sibling actually played guitar and said, here, kid, do what I do. Yeah. And that's kind of how you took it.
Like how it would have been if you started younger? Or like, well, like yeah, you would have gotten it.
Exactly, exactly. Instead of just liking the music, actually having like an older sibling who you obviously looked up to, who already played music.
Right.
That's pretty exciting. So you...
Yeah, I never lived with Bud. So we actually... He lived... he grew up with his father. I grew up with my mom. So I actually didn't grow up with him.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I became like I was like 15 or 16 that I started to, you know, go over to his place and we actually started to hang out and build this like relationship.
And what kind of stuff were you listening to when you were like a young 12, 13 year old kid? Do you remember? Do you want to tell us?
12 or 13. Yeah, I think like before that, I was totally like, you know, much music days, you know, with my friends and listening to much music. But then it got into like more kind of like alternative stuff at the beginning of high school.
Okay. Well, to go from like
Marilyn Manson and like, and then I was like, and then I got into like Bad Religion. I think Bad Religion really started off like my whole like punk career, like kind of like back in when I was like 13 or 14, I started to get into all those bands.
Yeah, for sure. Well, to go from the Much Music Video dance party, remember that?
I used to go to those.
Like every Friday nights, you'd turn on the TV and you'd dance to the TV.
Yeah, I mean, that's going back, right? So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I can relate to the whole Bad Religion thing. I remember when I was introduced to Bad Religion, it was probably in the 90s, early 90s, actually. My friend James Mason had the... No Control cassette, and he gave it to me. Didn't even have a case on it. It was like a clear cassette. And he's like, listen to this. This is awesome. I'm like, okay. And I remember the first time I listened to it, I loved the punk beat, but I remember his voice, which Bad Religion has been kind of, it's iconic for. Greg Graffin has that really kind of, not monotone, but that really distinct voice. And I remember I hated it at first. I'm like, what is this crap? And they're my favorite band of all time now. I've traveled all over the world, all over the continent to see them. Anyway.
Back in Cornwall, there wasn't many music stores. I think there was like one music store that existed at the time. But I didn't have a lot of money, and so I like made my own Bad Religion poster. So I did the cross.
The crossbuster?
The crossbuster. And I remember having it up in my room, and my mom was like, she had no idea what I was getting into. She's like, what is this?
Yeah, unless you know, it's like, yeah, I guess. I remember I've seen interviews with Bad Religion, and they said the logo, the whole crossbuster logo, is they just wanted to like piss off their parents and make some really offensive thing. And
definitely pissed my mom off, I think.
And that logo has stood the test of time for sure, because it's still behind them even in 2018. And it's not so much anti-God, it's more just anti-organized religion, which is probably a pretty good message. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you got your guitar, you met your friend,
Jamie,
and was Rah 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 your first band?
So how it started was, so we moved to Ottawa and we didn't know anyone, and we wanted to start this band. So we like set up an account online, I think like some website, like seeking out a bass player to come jam with. And we met, I think his name's Jeff. It's been a while.
Yeah,
2009,
right.
And he came over and he jammed with us. We had like three rough kind of songs written. And yeah, he really liked it. So he joined us. And then we met our buddy Brad, a drummer. And he'd never been... We were all first musicians kind of coming together and started our first band together.
Mm-hmm.
So we met Brad at a local show. And we asked if he wanted to play drums. And he was down. So we all jammed. And we were called the Second Generation Bastards.
And how old were you at this time?
It was 8 years ago. So
okay.
It was 22.
Oh, okay.
So we were the Second Generation Bastards. I think we played like maybe three shows under that name, one at 62 Bell Street, for any of the people that remember.
And it was punk rock. It was punk rock?
Yeah, it was. It was like obviously first band sloppiness, but it was fun. Like we had a really great time with it.
Mm-hmm.
Went through a bunch of members within that short amount of time.
Yeah.
And then whenever we end up losing our drummer and we lost our bass player, we decided maybe we'll make this an all-girl thing.
Ah.
So we end up seeing Dee Dee, Deirdre Dooley.
Uh-huh.
She was drumming for Knives and Forks for Freedom.
Okay.
And I saw her at a show and I was like, she needs to play drums with us. And I remember seeing her and I called Jamie and I'm like, I found our drummer. So like I totally asked her and she was down. And then we talked to our friend Sarah, who was also playing a band at the time. And she came to play bass with us and we jammed and it just kind of went from there. So
and now,
I think Rah Rah Riot was like sort of formed in 2010.
Okay.
We had our first show in 2011.
Crazy. So Rah Rah Riot... you were talking about crazy, like a bunch of people in the other. What was the first band called?
Second Generation Bastards.
Second Generation Bastards. So when you got the four girls together, was that the band throughout the whole history of Rah Rah Riot?
It was.
It was. I see you guys stuck together. So when you played your first show, do you remember where it was? Or did you already say that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the first show was at Cafe de Cuff back in 2011. And I think we played with the Rebel Spell and a couple other local bands, and it was so much fun, and I just was like, this is what I was meant to do, you know. And it was just, it felt amazing. And
how did the show go? It was like with being at your first show and in being like an all female punk rock band.
To be honest, I can't remember the first show. I think I was like, you know, like so just nervous, and I was still like such a new musician that just the adrenaline, just like, you just
how did the people take to it though? I think I always thought you guys were fucking rad just because, but I think it's
because I was new to the scene. So I didn't know what bands were already out there,
mm-hmm.
but it was awesome to see, you know, other girls and other females. Whenever we would play, they would kind of come out from the shadows, you know, and mm-hmm. they would feel comfortable to come up to the front and like get in the pit. And
absolutely.
Even though they were all doing that already, you just, I think it gave them a chance to kind of, you know, like see that, like, you know, they do have a voice that's being
huge
spoken.
I think that's huge, and I think it's awesome. I think it's super awesome. So you guys were kicking ass. You played your first show, and what was the next like year like for Ra Ra Riot?
The next year from the show?
Well, just like, what did you do?
Yeah, well, we
recorded some stuff, and you played more shows.
Yeah, we played a bunch of shows, you know, probably at like Mavericks and Cafe de Cuff, and at the time Lunetta was a venue on Bronson that we were playing at. Mm-hmm. Playing different house shows, jamming. It wasn't until I think 2013 or 2014 that we ended up actually recording our first album with Yogi from House of Targ.
Oh, nice.
So he recorded us, and then we released that, but it wasn't until a few years later. So it was just, you know, a few years of jamming and mm-hmm. playing shows and just, you know, having an awesome time.
Didn't you guys go out of town a few times? Didn't you play at the Death House in Montreal? Was that Ra Ra Riot?
No, unfortunately, I end up playing as Sarah Destruction at the Death House one night.
Oh, did you? Okay. Let's get to that in a bit. Let's continue
but
on.
No,
with,
but
with...
yeah, I don't think Ra Ra Riot, we actually, strangely enough, I don't think we've actually ever made it out of Ottawa.
Okay. And how long were you guys together? Like,
we might have played a show in Cornwall, but for some reason that's escaping me right now. I have a pregnancy fog brain right now, so
that's a topic for later on.
But most of our shows were Ottawa based.
I saw you guys a couple times and it was fucking super fun, and one of the times was the time I tried to talk to you and I was super intimidated and I couldn't.
Well, thank you, we had a lot of fun. So
yeah, so what happened?
Yeah, just I think it just got to the point where I don't know, just like how other people might relate to it, but you're in a band and all of a sudden it just, you know, the members start to kind of see different visions of where the band is going to go. Mm. And at the time, like some of the other members were kind of in other projects as well. And I think it was just starting to, at the time, Jamie wasn't living in Ottawa. She had moved back home to Martintown. So it was making it a bit difficult to jam. Yeah, and just I think we just kind of felt like it was coming to a close, coming, you know, we felt it was near, and by then it was 5 years. So I think we made the decision that, you know, let's take a break, let's do like a final show, and mm-hmm. you know, it was obviously really sad, and
bands are a hard thing to keep keep together, even if you like, because people's lives happen, like life happens, right? And as much as fun you're having and as well as you get along, things happen in people's lives to where it doesn't work anymore. Like you want it to, but you know, it's impossible. Like things get too tough, and the best bands in the world, you know, they reach a point where it's just like, might be time to venture off and kind of remember it for what it was and be awesome with it, or, you know.
So we had a 5-year run, which
that's
still like awesome.
It's incredible for a band. Yeah, for sure.
I think we kind of felt like we just wanted to kind of, you know, tie it off while we were still all like doing, like
still
feeling
liked each other
really good. Yeah. Before it just kind of fell apart, you know? So
yeah,
which was awesome. Cause then we did our final show at the House of Targ.
How was that?
I think at the start of 2015. And that was just, yeah, that was just a blast. There was a lot of our friends came out.
Was it an emotional night? Did you feel like it was your last show? Like, was that always in the back of your
mind? I remember a lot of hugging going on at the end of the show, people coming up on stage. And, you know, like there's been some talks about, you know, possibly getting back together, but I really...
That would be fucking awesome.
I'm not sure.
I'd love to see that.
Well, Sarah right now is in Berlin, so, I mean, that would make it a little bit difficult, but...
She lives there?
She lives in Berlin now, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's... Yeah,
but we talked about, you know, maybe like her one day visiting and us doing just like one show as like a reunion show or something. So,
yeah,
you know,
for
you
sure.
Never
like
know.
A,
maybe
like
someday in the future, like that might happen.
Well, so, you know, keep it in the daily planner. You never know. Keep it open. I think I've had bands that I've been in that have ended nicely, you know, where you're just like, well, this is time. And I've also had bands where I kicked the shit out of it until it was just like you hated each other at the end, you know? So it's good to hear that you guys kind of ended on good terms, and I'm sure you're still friends with all the with all of them.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no reason why, if all the planets aligned one day, rah, 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 I couldn't have that reunion show one night only at House of Targ on a Friday night.
Yeah. We're like sisters. So, I mean, it, you never know.
Yeah. All right. So Rah Rah Riot, that was the end of that chapter. But you didn't stop playing music. You said...
Should we play something by Rah Rah Riot?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Maybe?
Let's do that. Who's hosting this motherfucker? No, that's true. Let's play a Rah Rah Riot song. Let's do it. I think I wrote down some stuff here. What would you like to play?
Yeah, so we only had a few songs actually recorded, but this was one that... we had a lot of fun playing, and it's just an awesome tune. So it's called Down Below.
All right. This is Rah Rah Riot. This song is called Down Below. This is Ego and Vice. We'll be right back. So that was Rah Rah Riot. That was a song called Down Below. So Rah Rah Riot eventually went their separate ways. Everyone's doing their own thing. Yet you continued on in the Ottawa music scene. What was next for Sarah Destruction?
Well, actually, the next musical adventure that I was in took place while I was still in Rah Rah Riot. So it was back in 2000. And
oh, you had some overlap.
An overlap. So I was in two bands at one time, yeah.
Okay.
And they were called the One Night Fucks. And that was...
That's brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, it was... so it was my buddies, Thomas, Frank, and Imogen at the time, Daryl Reed, a prominent Ottawa photographer in the music scene. And yeah, Thomas just posted something on Facebook one day and said, hey, does anyone want to start a band and get together and just play one show and then quit? And we thought,
how could you resist, right?
I don't know. Like, I guess I just was like, sure, yeah, this sounds like fun. So, yeah. So Frank had joined, and then I did, and then Daryl, and we just jammed a few times, and yeah, One Night Fucks was born, and yeah, it was just kind of a one wild summer of.
And what kind of music was that when you with the One Night Fucks? What was that? Was it punk rock stuff?
Yeah, I don't even know really. I'm not good with like genres of music, but it was kind of like
fast and heavy and loud and obnoxious.
It was heavy and distorted and punk and just sloppy and wild is all I could put it. So
how did the one?
So Imogen was just like an awesome like front person and.
How did the one show go?
So we so the first show we actually played at Funboy Clubhouse back in the summer of 2013.
You said something about the New Swears too.
Yeah, and, I think yeah. The New Swears guys lived there, and it was a lot of fun. It was in the basement of a sweaty basement one summer night, but we actually ended up playing three shows. So the one show didn't. How could we stop after one show? Really?
You know? I was gonna say that would be some discipline. Like that would be some commitment right there.
Yeah. So we ended up doing three shows that summer. And the last show we played was at Cafe de Cuff with a bunch of fucking goofs.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was just kind of like a wild summer. It was a lot of fun.
One show turned into three shows. How did you like put a knife in it? How did you stop it? Like, why didn't this just like turn into like a full-time band?
I can't really even recall. Like, I think. We just kind of wanted to go with the whole like theme of because we kind of started the whole band kind of like promoting it as like we're going to be this one show band. So I think we just kind of just three shows had a good ring to it. And we're like, OK, maybe it's.
And what did you do in that band? You played guitar in the band?
Yeah.
OK. And what are those guys doing now? Are they in any bands in Ottawa still?
Yeah, they totally are. So Imogen, she plays in Sick Nurse now. And Thomas. Yeah, they're playing in projects right now.
Okay, that's cool. Hey man, you can't keep track of everybody, right? Fucking.
There's a Frank McDonald is playing in Lost Youth, but he's not in that band right now anymore. And I haven't seen those guys in a really long time, so I'm like I miss them. And yeah, so I just cool. They're still definitely involved in music.
Well, the one shot deal turned into a three shot deal, and I'm sure everyone was pretty happy about doing that. So, okay, that's it. Wow, that was a short segment. Should we play a song from those guys? Hey, I look at it this way. They were only supposed to play one song or one show. So let's keep the segment short and play that one song from the one show. No?
Yeah, we have like a couple of at-home underground recorded tracks. So
okay.
Maybe we can play one of those.
All right. This is The One Night Fucks featuring Sarah Destruction. So that was the one night fucks. That was awesome.
It ended up turning into three night fucks.
The three night fucks.
But yeah, no, I love those folks, and Thomas and Frank and Imogen. I really hope to hang out with you all soon. I miss you.
Yeah. We're going to move into a segment from the history of your music career, and it is something with a band called The Brat Attack.
Yeah, so...
So how did that come about, and where did that come from?
Yeah, so The Brat Attack, I ended up singing with in 2015, and there's been quite a huge effect on the music scene with that band that I was a part of. But how that sort of started was, so Rah-Rah Riot, we ended in 2015. We played our last show, and I took a few months off, and, you know, it was just being bandless for a little while. And then my buddy Jay, who was working at the Targ at the time, he was making pierogies in the back. He asked me if I'd be interested in singing in a band that he was starting up with, this new guy, Davey, who started working at the House of Targ. And I was really kind of excited about the opportunity and nervous, but I said, sure, I'll come to a jam. I've never just been a singer in a band.
You played guitar mainly and yeah. sang a bit, but this was your first.
I did some singing and played guitar, yeah. but like just as a complete front woman was something I'd never done before. So I said, sure, let's give this a shot. So I went to a jam, and it was a lot of fun. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. So like we jammed with the other guys in the band, Tim and Terry and Jay and then Davey and then myself. Mm-hmm. And we kind of formed, and it just kind of came together like super, super quickly. So the Brat Attack, from my understanding at the point time, was that they were the band. They have been together for like a long time. So he had been running all over Canada, kind of like, he kind of called it like a communal band, I think was his name. So like in all the different cities that he lived in, he would kind of reform this band with new members, but keep all the same songs. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the songs were already written whenever we all came into the band. We just kind of had to learn them.
Right. Yeah, you can find like a lot of the history of the Brat Attack on like the internet and stuff like that. And I remember when the Brat Attack started in Ottawa, or when they came to Ottawa, I remember seeing their name quite a bit. And then...
Yeah, so the Brat Attack, we were only together for about 6 months. And there was, you know, a bunch of shit that went down, like really, really unfortunate shit that went down with the Davey who started the band, where he was being called out for sexual harassment and rape and stuff with a lot of women in the Ottawa music scene. And it was just really, really, really terrible, I think, for everyone who was affected. So it's, you know. Just...
Yeah. I remember when the rumors started flying, or when it came out. But before they did, you guys went to, you toured through Europe.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So, I mean, before all that had happened, mm-hmm. Something like really, really amazing that we did with the band, which, is really, really good to talk about, is we end up touring Europe with the Brat Attack and our sister band that we were in called the Dead Peasants Revolt. And the Dead Peasants Revolt was Jay. He played drums in both bands. Josh, who's also Remy Royale, he played in the band as well.
Mm-hmm. That crazy old bastard.
So much fun going on tour with him.
For sure.
And then my friend Kaylee, she was a singer of the Dead Peasants Revolt. So it was amazing that we end up booking these flights to Europe, these two bands. This is summer of 2015. And the both of us, you know, crammed into a tour van when we arrived in Europe and just traveled all over, mostly Germany, but I traveled all over Europe for like 2.5 weeks.
And where did you go? Do you remember like some of the places?
I think we played 14 shows in like 16 days.
Wow.
Or something.
That's punk rock, folks.
There was 9 of us in total crammed into this van.
And we made $7.
Yeah, I don't think we made much money, but yeah, where did we go? We played, we played in Schwabischgemund, I think was the first show that we played in this really small German village with cobblestone streets and old medieval buildings. It was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
We played Munich. We played in Hamburg, and I obviously had my hamburger in Hamburg.
Okay.
A vegan hamburger.
you found a vegan hamburger in Hamburg? Okay.
I know.
Good for you.
We played Berlin, which was super amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed at a bunch of different squats. Berlin was awesome. We played in Serbia, which was really, really cool as well.
And how was
driving to Serbia, though? I will never forget this, though, but I think we end up hitting this like crazy rainstorm as we're driving into Serbia, and we couldn't see anything. It was just intense, and like we were like, we're gonna die. So we like made like a recording, and we're like, this is it, you know, this is gonna be the last of us.
Our will
drive
and
to Serbia. And we arrived in Serbia, and we just remember like we were driving in this tour van that had a bunch of punk rock stickers and stuff covered in our van, and we just remember looking around, and we saw like we're in like skinhead area and like Nazi area. So we were like,
oh, man.
We got to get out of this hood, you know, let's get to the venue. And then we got to the venue, and I can't remember the name of the place right now. It's not coming to me, but
no, it's okay.
We had like an amazing, amazing, amazing time. The whole trip was just incredible, and I'm so super grateful that I got to experience that.
And what were the kids in the crowd like in Germany, or Germany in Europe, if you will?
Yeah, well, each town was a little bit different.
Were they good shows? Like, were there good turnouts and like the crazy kids that I'd imagine there would be?
Yeah, like some places had more of a turnout than others. But the first night that we arrived in Europe, we played in this small German town at this little Italian place. And yeah, everyone, it was just, this went wild. Like, I just don't think they get a lot of bands who come to this like little town in, I don't know, German suburbia, you know?
You crazy
Canadians. There's amazing, and people are just like smoking and rolling their cigarettes and the crowd. And, Remy Royale, he'd always start off like a bunch of the nights. Cause usually whenever we play these shows, it's just us. We're like we're the night, you know, is the Rat Attack and the Dead Presence Revolt. So we had, there weren't other,
oh,
many
just,
times.
Just the two of you just playing the gig.
Many times there weren't other openers.
Crazy.
Sometimes, like for like, you know, maybe a third to half of the shows.
Yeah.
So Remy Royale, he would do some skits, uh-huh. And everyone just loved it. They were just like, what is this, you know? And it was
he is an animated individual. He's a really entertaining person.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. it was amazing. So, and it was pretty cool too, because at the time, Rat Attack, this was their, they've already toured Europe before.
Mm-hmm.
So there was already a following in Europe of some of the bands.
Well, that, yeah, awesome. That's crazy.
So
little Canadian band in Europe. It's huge.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a ton of fun. So like it was really interesting just to see the dynamic and the change between all the different cities.
So as you went on in that tour, which was obviously like a huge thing you'll always look back on as a amazing thing in your life as far as music or just like a life experience, I suppose, that's when certain rumors started swirling, or you started hearing about them. Is that right?
Yeah, so it wasn't until we came back from the tour, whenever we all kind of arrived back in Ottawa, and we were settling back into Ottawa, someone had messaged me, one of my friends messaged me on Facebook and said, you know, can we get together and talk? And I had no idea what it was about. Mm-hmm. And that's whenever she kind of told me about what had been circulating around Ottawa on what, you know, had been happening.
And what exactly were those rumors? Like, what did you hear? Like, what was that conversation about, if you want to talk about it?
So it was being spread around Ottawa that there is some sexual harassment and rape allegations with the lead singer of the band, Davey. And I guess it was the whole music community had known about it. And we hadn't known about it when we were in Europe. We had no idea this was happening. So we kind of all came back from Europe, and it was just a shock for all of us to hear about this.
Yeah, definitely a shock, since you just spent 6 months with this person in this band, went on tour, and it must have been a crazy thing.
Yeah, so I think that was... It was really difficult for us, and I can't even imagine how it had affected, you know, this girl that was involved, and it could have been a few girls as well. But I mean, we spent the past 2.5 weeks, you know, with this person, you know, basically like family, and so it was difficult to hear. So this was happening, and yeah, it was a really, really terrible thing to happen within the music community.
It's a horrible thing, and I do feel terrible for the whoever was involved in it. What happened then? Like, did this happen like suddenly, and like it was like this information was out, and then he went back to Winnipeg, or
yeah. So I think there is you know, a group of people that were planning on confronting him about it, about what had happened, and they wanted him to apologize. To be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure the details of all of that, but Noah, Kaylee, his wife, and Davey, they did end up moving back to Winnipeg, and I haven't seen or talked to Davey since then, but I am still friends with Kaylee, and I actually just seen her this summer when I drove across BC, and I spent some time with her. So she's still a really good friend. And
they're not together anymore.
No.
Okay.
But so that was sort of how the Brat Attack ended. The whole band sort of disbanded after that. We no longer were a band anymore. And I just, you know, took some time for myself off of music. I took a break. And I just want to add, though, that I think it's really important and really really important that the women who are involved with this had spoken up about it, about anything involving this, because, you know, it needs to be known.
Absolutely. And if you're ever in a situation or have been in a situation that kind of reflects what we're talking about, please talk to somebody, talk to a friend, talk to, you know, talk to somebody you can trust.
Yeah, definitely, and reach out.
You're not alone, and you're, you know, nobody's going to think any less of you for speaking out about it. So it's awful that happened. I feel for the people that were involved in it, but there was still a lot of people in the band. It was still part of your life, and you made some music. So why don't we play a Brat Attack song? And this song is a song that you wrote.
Yeah, it's the one and only song that had got recorded with my time in the band.
All right. So let's do that. This is the one and only Sarah Destruction, and this is the Brat Attack. This is called Barcode Your Babies.
Right.
So that was the Brat Attack, and that was a song called Barcode Your Babies featuring Sarah Destruction, our guest tonight. This is the end of part one with Sarah Destruction. I try not to go longer than an hour, and this is always like pushing, but whenever I get my friends in the studio, we start talking, and you know, stuff gets away on me. But we're going to have part two of Sarah Destruction coming up shortly. I will post that, I don't know, probably in the next few days. I hope you enjoyed the first episode. Again, this is Ego and Vice. This is our season, or this is my season premiere for 2018. If you ever want to get a hold of me, you can contact me at egoandvice at gmail.com. You can also check out my website at egoandvice.com. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, so that's cool. So stick around for episode 16. It will be the part two with my good friend Sarah Destruction. We will see you then.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.